Amen. Today we get to start a brand new sermon series. Last month we were able to focus ourselves on some of those things that might be controlling in our lives. And this week what we're going to do, we're actually going to transition from that series that may have opened up our eyes to some things that maybe we didn't really want to see, right? And we're just going to jump all the way into that pool this month as we focus on forgiveness and what forgiveness needs to look like in our lives and how it is that we live that out and how it's been given to us. And so how then we ought to reflect that to others. I want, if you would just use your sanctified imagination with me this morning. I want you to imagine with me three friends that are standing up here, of which all three are going to look just like me, okay? Friend one has decided to give a brand new shirt to friend two. And friend two loves this shirt. It might look just like a t-shirt to you. Oh, no. No, no. No, this is probably the greatest shirt that friend two has ever received in his life, right? Now, friend two, being friendly himself, decided one day to let friend three borrow the shirt. Because friend two's super nice, right? And friend two really appreciated the fact that friend one actually gave him the shirt. Like, what a nice gesture of love there. And so if friend two is able to receive something from friend one, like, how much nicer is it that friend two could let friend three borrow the shirt? The problem is that friend three had a bit of an accident, right? And so friend three accidentally got something all over the shirt. I mean, it was really sad. It was an accident though. I mean, it happens, you know? It happens. And so friend three sent back to friend two a shirt that was not the same as friend three had received it, right? As you might imagine, friend two was pretty brokenhearted by this because this, believe it or not, was the greatest shirt that friend two had ever had in his entire life, right? And now friend two has to decide, what do I do about this? In the midst of all of this, and in the midst of friend two being brokenhearted, friend one over here saw what had happened and said, hey, like, I realize that you kind of got something on your shirt there. Don't even worry about this shirt. Just come on with me. I'll get you a whole new wardrobe, right? But this was friend two's best shirt ever. And friend two just wanted friend three to make it right. Right? And friend two just didn't want to let go of that shirt that was the greatest shirt he had ever gotten. As I mentioned, last month we talked about some of the things that control us in our lives. This month, we're going to talk about forgiveness. Today, we're able to use this as sort of a transition from one to the other because for some of us, we actually will allow unforgiveness to control how it is that we move forward with Jesus. How it is that we move forward in our lives, how it is that we decide to live out our faith, how it is that we choose to be each and every day. And so today, what we're going to look at is how then can we, in light of the shirt, and I just realized, I hope it's not dripping on the floor. There we go. You know what? I'm just going to lay it over here. There we go. I just don't want to get it on the carpet. Anyway, so what we're going to talk about is what is it that friend two can do in light of the situation that he might find himself in. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in this place today. We recognize the presence of your Holy Spirit among us. And Lord, we endeavor to submit ourselves to the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours, and that you alone, your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father. Help us all, me included, help us all, Father, to hear from you and to respond by faith with you. God, that you would be glorified not only in the proclamation of your word, but also in the way that we respond to it with faith. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me, before we get into exactly what forgiveness is, I want to take a minute just to talk about what forgiveness is not, right? Particularly in regard to these three friends that are up here, right? So first of all, forgiveness is not friend three being sorry, okay? Friend three can be sorry all day long, but that doesn't mean that friend three is going to be forgiven. It doesn't mean that friend two would extend that there. Forgiveness is not friend three cleaning the shirt, right? And you might even think, well, there ain't no cleaning that anyway. Well, either way, even if friend three did clean the shirt and was able to kind of get all that out of there, that is not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not even replacing the shirt. It's not getting with friend one over here and saying, hey man, where'd you get that shirt? You really love the shirt. I know I ruined the shirt. Let me get him a new shirt. That is also not forgiveness. Replacing the shirt is not forgiveness. Forgiveness is also not friend two loaning friend three another shirt. All right? Y'all come on with me now. You're going to get it here. You're going to get it. See, because some people think that, well, I did this and that experience wasn't good, and so the mark of my forgiveness of friend three is saying, okay, well, I'll loan you another shirt. I'll trust you with something else here. That is not, for trusting someone with another shirt is not forgiveness. In fact, it might actually be set up to see if they'll do it again, right? You might give them a shirt you don't like quite so much just to see if they're going to mess you up one more time, right? Forgiveness is not avoiding friend three either. Forgiveness is not going over to friend one and talking to friend one about how bad friend three is. That's not forgiveness. Just to add on to that, by the way, forgiveness is also not coming to friend one and praying about friend three. I'm assuming the laughs are because maybe you've been on that prayer list before. Maybe you were in that prayer meeting once before. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. That's not forgiveness either, though. That's not forgiveness either. Forgiveness is not friend two making sure that friend three realizes that he's the one who's entirely to blame. That is also not forgiveness. So then, what is forgiveness? How can we know what it is and actually walk in that, right? How can we actually embrace that? I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 10, and it'll be up on the screens as well if you don't have that with you. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, and I'm going to do something that I don't know that I've ever done this in my ministerial career, if you will, but I'm pretty sure I preached on this text like, I don't know, maybe like 2 months ago or so. It wasn't very long ago. Maybe we used it as a community group material or something. It's hard for me to keep track of them all now. But this is one that we've been in recently, particularly if you're part of a community group. You've probably seen this story before of the rich young ruler. And but I want us to see this story in a context that I feel like God revealed to me that I have never seen this story before. And I hope it opens your eyes the way that God opened mine. So let's start in Mark chapter 10. And I want to start in reading verses 17 through 20. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. It says, as Jesus started on his way, A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Verse 19, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Now, I want to stop at this point in the story here, because this guy, this rich young ruler here, he's trying to do something that is important that we recognize, right? And that is that this man is trying to show that both he and Jesus are both good people, okay? Now, you might think like, oh, well, yeah, like what's the big deal there? Like, why not? I mean, he's following commandments. Jesus is obviously good people, right? What's the big deal? Well, it's intriguing to me, like particularly as you look back to verse 18, or verse 17, the guy comes to Jesus and he asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's almost like Jesus, ignores that part of it, right? And he jumps into this goodness thing of who is good but God alone. Now, that's a really important part that we can't overlook here, because what that means is that Jesus is redefining for this guy what it means to be good. And part of what he's saying is twofold. Part of what he is saying is about himself. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus is saying something about himself. And then Jesus is also saying something about this guy. And he's saying two very different things. Because when he says who is good but God alone, he is, as we look at this with 2,000 years of history behind it, we can see, oh, well, Jesus is God. Like, he is part of the Trinity. Like, he is the divine. Like, shouldn't the guy have, understood? Like, part of what Jesus is saying here is, yes, you call me good, but don't call me good because you think I can teach well. Call me good because you know that I am divine. Like I am not just from here. Like, I'm not just trying to be about this world. Like I am the savior of the universe. And so if you think I'm good because I can teach, like, that's all right, I guess. But you need to recognize the only reason I'm good is because the Father has said so. Because I am one with the Father. Because I am God, right? Now, the other side of that is what Jesus is saying about this guy. Because if only God is good and he ain't God, then he ain't good. And so when Jesus starts listing out all these things of, you know, did you follow this command and that command and this command and that command, and this guy's like, oh, not only do I follow them now, I've been following all of that since I was a kid, right? I've been doing that for a long. In other words, part of what the guy is saying is, I ain't never put paint on anybody else's shirt. Oh, Jesus, you want me to follow you? You want to recruit me onto your team? You want me to follow you? Because I ain't never put paint on anybody else's shirt. Ain't nobody got anything against me like that. And so, Jesus, I know you're good. Now you know I'm good. So we should really be on the same team. The problem with that is that when we put ourselves on the same level as Jesus, then when people do us wrong, we think that we are divine, when the reality is we are not on the same level as Jesus. We are on the same level as the people who are painting our shirts as well. Do you see how that can be really tricky, though? Like, if we look at ourselves as good, then we might think that when somebody does something wrong to us, that is the greatest offense that could ever happen in the history of mankind. But the reality is that we are not good. And even if we don't think we put paint on anybody else's shirt, the cross of Jesus Christ would beg to differ, because we have put some paint on his shirt, if on nobody else's. By the sins that we have committed, and even the sin nature that we are born into, like we have created some mess. And if it hadn't been on anybody else, it was on Jesus, and he had to take that shirt all the way to the cross. All the way. But when it comes to us forgiving others, see, it can be real sticky when we think we are as good as Jesus and someone offends us. Then we look at the other and we almost look down as to say, how could you do that to me, to us? When the reality is, we are in the same boat, right? Let me get on here with verse 21. Let me read verse 21 as well. It says, Jesus looked at the man and he loved him, which I think is just an incredible, like, why? It's just interesting to me that Mark added that into this story. I wish I knew what that looked like. Like, I wish, this is one of those places where I wish we had the, like, actual, like, documentary of what Jesus looked, what did it look like for Jesus to love him, right? Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me. Now, the man had something that he had to let go of in order to follow Jesus. Now, what's important for us to recognize in this is that the man did not have to let go of those things in order to talk to Jesus. He's having a conversation with him right now, right? He's still got all the riches and everything. He got bags of money just laying around, right? Rolling in it. He didn't have to let go of that to honor Jesus. He didn't have to let go of it to worship Jesus. He didn't have to let go of that to learn from Jesus. He didn't have to let go of anything to be convicted by Jesus. He didn't even have to let go of anything to know that Jesus is, in fact, the way, the truth, and the life. Like, he didn't have to let go of anything to kind of do those things and to be aware of those things. See, the rich young ruler might have had bags of money, but see, friend two here, he was carrying around his bags of hurt, his bags of resentment, his bags of grudge, his negativity, spite, anger, victimization, rightness, which, by the way, let me clarify, is very different than righteousness, right? See, friend two can do a lot of things to make himself look good, right? But there's only one thing that friend two lacks, and that is to let go of that shirt in order to follow Jesus, in order to follow friend one, the one who could say, not only did I give you a new shirt, but hey, if that shirt's messed up, just come on back. I got plenty more where that came from. Like, all you gotta do is let go of this, and I got a wardrobe for you over here. But the rich young ruler had to let go of what he had. He had to let go of his goodness. He had to let go of what he was holding over others. He had to be able to set that down in order to follow Jesus. And this is the crazy part that hit me, is that many of us are walking around with a painted nasty shirt, ain't doing nobody any good. We ain't even wearing it around anymore. In fact, we're probably trying to hide it more than anything, but instead of just giving it away, we keep it in our back pocket, thinking maybe one day we're going to see friend three again. We'll be able to pull that thing out and just show them how terrible of a person they are, right? All the time, Jesus standing over here like, I got so much more for you. I got so much more for you. If you would just lay it down like the bags of gold that you have, like the riches, as if Again, this is what's so crazy about this. We are holding on to these things as if these are our most valuable things, as if these are our riches, as if this is the very purpose and point of our lives, when the truth of the matter is, it is nothing but garbage. But we won't let go of it. And because we won't let go of it, we can't receive everything that Jesus has for us. See, forgiveness is letting go of the hurt in order to follow Jesus. And I want to be clear, this is not to imply that God does not care about your hurt or your victimization or your feelings surrounding any of that. Actually, I could make a strong scriptural case for the fact that God cares very deeply about all of those things. Like more than you could even possibly understand. God loves you, and he is... The things that have happened to us may not have been a part of his will, and yet he is with you still, and he wants you to know that you are not alone in any of these things that you are feeling or that you have experienced. But rather, God is simply saying that holding on to those things is not worth what he has if we would just let them go. Like, what he has for us, yes, this was painful, and this was the greatest shirt you may have ever had in your life, but it is not better than what he has for you still. You might think that was great, but he has so much more. There is so much more to your life, so much more that he wants to do in you and through you and for others, but you have to let go. This has value, but not more value than what Jesus has for you still. The new wardrobe is far more valuable than the ruined shirt. Following Jesus is far more valuable than the riches the man was told to give away. Forgiveness is letting go of the hurt previously impressed upon us and upon our lives in order to receive the full value of everything that Jesus died on the cross for us to have. The cost of our healing is forgiveness. The forgiveness that we give. The cost of our healing is letting go. The cost of our healing is surrendering control of the shirt in order that we might be able to submit ourselves to the one who controls the abundance that we can receive still in our lives. Let me keep going here in verse 22. And we'll bring this to a close here. Verse 22. Says that this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "It is how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and he said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." We cannot, I don't want to sugarcoat this for you. Forgiveness is hard. It just is. Following Jesus is awesome. Like, it'll change your life forever. It'll give you joy in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in ways that you could not even you could not create for yourself, and you probably can't even imagine without it. But forgiveness is hard. It was hard for Jesus. I mean, let's not overlook that, right? What it cost him in going to the cross, right? In order that we might be forgiven of our sins. Like that was hard. And Jesus is even acknowledging to his disciples, this kind of faith, this is hard. And let me be clear, forgiveness is a step of faith. See now, because I think sometimes we get to thinking, oh, well, forgiveness is what we do when everything lines up and friend three does what they need to do and friend two does what he needs to do and all this kind of stuff. No. Forgiveness is an act of faith, and faith by very nature means that you're not going to see how it's going to end. You don't know how it's going to go. It's going to feel like walking off a cliff. It's going to feel like you've got no support at all. It's going to feel like no one is there holding you up. But the very nature of faith is that when we take those steps of faith, Jesus is there to hold us up. And he gives us new life that we can't have while we're holding on to things ourselves. God can give you faith for forgiveness to let go right now. God can give you faith for forgiveness when you see that person again. God can give you faith for forgiveness so that when the enemy tries to bring back all of the insecurities that are wrapped up in the wounding, that faith for forgiveness is still there. That we don't have to keep going back to the shirt. We don't have to make a decision for Jesus, but then keep going back every time we see that person again, or every time that feeling comes up again. No, God can give us faith for forgiveness to walk in such a way that even though I don't really know what it's going to feel like to live outside of holding this grudge, even over myself, let alone over somebody else, I don't know what it even feels like to walk in a way that I'm not like day by day affected by what happened to me over here, but Lord, I'm going to trust you to let go of that wounding in order that I might receive what you have for me. God, I recognize that as much as this hurt me, you have good for me. As much as this wounded me, you have love for me. God, I recognize that while it is hard to do this, it is worth it to do that. And so I'm going to choose faith. I'm going to choose to walk with you, Jesus. And I'm not going to let anything keep me from that. I want to invite the worship team to come on back up. And as they come, this is your opportunity to decide how is it that you are going to respond to this opportunity. So many of us are carrying around our painted shirts. Wounded and saddened by the fact that yes, this did happen. And again, I want to clarify that what I'm asking you to do is to not just forget that you were hurt or that you were wounded. What I'm asking you to do is to recognize that this is not worth what Jesus has for you still. I want to encourage you, even as we sing these next couple of songs here, I want to ask you, how is it that you can let go of that thing that you've been holding on to, that offense that you've been staying at, that you've not really allowed God to take you further? What is it that you need to let go of in order that you might be able to have everything that Jesus died on the cross for you to have? Maybe, you know what? Maybe it's just a matter of saying, you know, I have allowed my wounding to actually keep me from a relationship with Jesus at all. Because I know as soon as I reach out to Jesus, he's going to make me deal with that. And so I've been holding back because I don't want to let go of that. Today can be the day where you decide to let go. Where you realize that doesn't have to define you anymore. Now your relationship in Jesus can actually define and provide control and stability and structure in your life. Like, you don't have to stay back here anymore. You can submit your life to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as acknowledging, you know what? I'm friend three when it comes to Jesus. I've sinned and I've fallen short of the glory of God and I need a Savior, right? It's a matter of believing that Jesus is the only one who can forgive us of our sins. He's the only one who can make us right before God. And simply confessing that he's the guy. He's the one you're following. He's the one you're going after. It will require faith for you to let go of your old life in order to receive what the newness that God has for you. It will require faith for you to let go of your old life in order to, for you to receive the newness that God has for you. Are you ready? Are you willing to receive from Him even now? Stand with me if you would. If you'd like to come to an altar prayer, you can come and pray either by yourself or with somebody else. Bring somebody with you. Feel free. Maybe you just want to pray right where you are, and maybe there's somebody there that you just want to say, you know what, like, I've been holding on to something. I need to let go, and I don't even know what it's going to look like or how to do it, but if you would just pray for me and we'll pray together, that would be awesome. However it is that the Holy Spirit is stirring in your hearts, say yes to Him even now. Amen.